Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Cindy Burgess Gerson, what an amazing person.
Just saying. Okay.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Jason Andrews, the king of the upside-down Twitter pick. And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Happens.
Happens. Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens? Watch what.
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender, and joining me today on this very special Tuesday is a man of many talents and wonders, a man who will never let a baby cry for 10 minutes straight without videotaping it. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Roast Pricks Bachelor Podcast. What's up?
Without putting a sock in its mouth, you mean?
Like, be quiet, baby. You? Oh, man.
How could you talk about my baby?
Today is going to be an interesting episode, I think. Because I am recording from my new apartment in my, excuse me, and I have like a little bit of a cough today from overexerting myself with physical fitness. I didn't get Ronnie's plague. excuse me. But sorry, this is a really charming way to start a podcast. But I'm in my new space where I'm going to be recording the podcast. So we're going to be hearing different ambient sounds, and there's nothing in this room, so it's a little echoey. So just bear with us for now. It should be an interesting learning curve and experience. Also, I believe some movers will be coming at some point in the middle of this podcast, as well as some maintenance men. So it's going to be like a whole circus, essentially. Yeah.
We're basically a mess this week.
Okay? A huge mess. But you know what, though? I am using the internet. And the reason why is because yesterday I was so furious about that situation with AT&T where they messed up my installation twice and made me wait all this time. I went crazy. I called up Spectrum at like 6:30 p.m. and I was like, can you guys get my internet up sooner than Thursday? Because AT&T is saying Thursday is the soonest. And the Spectrum's like, yeah, let me. They're like, doot, 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 doot. They're like, okay, it's up and running. And then I was like, well, that's great, but I don't have the cabling to get my modem to the wall. They're like, okay, we'll send someone out tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. So by 9 a.m., I was up and running. So there you go. AT&T sucks. And then AT&T had the balls to send a technician at 9:30 p.m. to my old address, even though I'd already canceled AT&T. I was like, you fuckers, I don't even have an appointment scheduled for today, even if I hadn't canceled it.
My God, all these companies need to go to a Housewives reunion and realize seriously. That it is all about the communication, okay? It is how you say it. It is the vernacular, AT&T.
AT&T, it is the words. It is the words you use. It is the words you use. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I did not feel safe around that AT&T technician.
He's like, I didn't bring my tools, but I've got my hands. They're just hands.
But they work quite well. His hands are like a dial-up modem. But we're not here to talk Dallas. We're here today to talk Orange County.
Yay, Orange County. Now, I don't know what the hell I was talking about yesterday when I was like, there's still like 8 months left of Orange County. We're only on episode 13. It was episode 18.
Was it really?
I think that's what I saw on the TV guide. I'm like losing time at this point in the podcast.
It makes sense because they were like, next week on the season finale of Orange County. So I was like, I think Ronnie got his time. Math wrong. Yeah,
I know. I'm blacking out. I'm like, you guys, I hope that Alexis is good in the reunion. Yeah. So, hello.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, the Orange County is wrapping up, but I feel like the past few episodes in Iceland have been really quite enjoyable.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying it, and I was laughing my ass off yesterday.
Oh my god, it took me about an hour and a half to get through the episode because I kept pausing and either taking notes or laughing or making GIFs.
Yeah, and I feel like they were daring us to laugh because they're like, look, let's play some really depressing Enya music that makes you want to cry while funny things are happening. I'm not sure what the music choices were, but I was liking it.
I'm not sure what any of the choices have been on Orange County this season. They went in a weird direction from the way they do from the music cues to the way they transition between scenes, but and also like the casting. But you know what? They sort of like worked it out at the end, you know, sort of stumbling to the finish line. But, you know, it's been like, you know, they've added in like an extra dose of ridiculous fights in Iceland. And that's all I can ask for sometimes.
Yeah, when you're in doubt, learn from Orange County and just bring in about 25, 45-year-old bald dudes in bad sweaters and, you know, have them sing some hymns. It seems to work.
Well, you know, the Orange County people, the producers, seem to be resistant to something that Beverly Hills and New York City have caught on to, and maybe even New Jersey to some degree. Have these ladies go on as many trips as possible. Don't wait to the end to send them all to Iceland. Do a few, like, mid-season trips. I mean, New York, they go to the Adirondacks. The Berkshires, you know, and that's some of the most iconic episodes of the past few years have taken place in the Berkshires. Beverly Hills, they go to Mexico mid-season. Sometimes they'll go to Paris or they'll go to Spain, you know.
Yeah, get these bitches locked in a house together.
Exactly. When all else fails, force them on a vacation together and shit just works. It always works.
And just one more warning, one more pre-excuse. I am still a little sick, so I was like, I'm going to take my DayQuil and drink some NyQuil. So if I sound like drunk and deaf at the same time, that's why.
Attention to detail may not be your strong suit this week.
Warning. Okay, yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So the episode opens with the most exciting way it possibly could, Peggy walking in a room feeling a little cold and having the sniffles.
What is wrong with Peggy? Okay, if Peggy doesn't drink, what does Peggy do? Because she's on something. I don't know if it's just misery or if her brain is swollen from all the English phrases she's been learning. But she's got some issues this week. I'm not sure, but I loved every bit of it.
Peggy finally broke, which is great. I appreciate a broken Peggy. She was basically deranged this episode. And so anyone who can't remember from last episode, there was this like big drunken, you know, moment late at night. And Peggy thought the women were all laughing at her, especially because Kelly had made this comment about, I'm going to have your daddy call my daddy or something like that. And Kelly, I'm sorry, Peggy took that very literally because her dad had died. So Peggy is in a very sensitive place.
Peggy is showing us what it's like when you move to a place and you don't completely immerse yourself in the English or the language of that place.
Yeah.
You remember when Yolanda on Beverly Hills got in all that trouble because she was telling her workmen, you are in America, you learn English. This is how we talk in America. And people were like, that is so racist, Yolanda. Well, you know, when you don't know it, it hurts your feelings because really there are so many phrases. Yeah, there are so many phrases, which we'll get to later, that people say in America that sound very violent if you aren't really used to them, you know?
Yeah, and it goes both ways. Like, for instance, on Friday, my husband beats me. It's a joke. It's a joke. So this episode, it was
joke.
Like, it's a joke. Coco. By the way, there are all these billboards up suddenly for this new movie out called Coco. And I just cannot stop hearing Peggy's voice. Coco.
I know. Every time I see that, I'm like, you spelled Coco wrong, guys. Yeah. Yeah. Get it together, Pixel or Pixar or whatever you are.
Coco is supposed to be significantly more adorable than these posters are indicating. So can we fix that?
I know. Just make it Coco. Just bouncing a ball in the house.
Bouncing a ball and looking at belly dancers for the first time. Whoa.
And asking where's the beef.
Or what was that thing he did that he got so excited on Easter with like Deco? It was like he like broke an egg. He's like, I love Coco.
This is so Armenian, having eggs since we break on Easter. We are the first person to dye an egg.
So it's 6:26 p.m. in Iceland because the producers have decided to add timestamps to add a sense of urgency to basically a non-urgent episode, but a hilarious one nonetheless. And so Peggy goes to Lydia's room and, you know, she has that look like she's been crying for hours and hours. And she's like, "You have food? You have food? I haven't eaten since yesterday morning. You have food? It's cold in here. I just woke up. You have to understand." I'm like, "You have to understand what?"
"Could you close the window? I cold. I hungry." It's like, okay, victim.
Yeah.
Okay, you've been in your room all day. Come out and eating all this shit.
She's like acting like she just survived a train derailing. And like, and, you know, it's like all you did was sleep all day.
And I like that it was the scene with the two people talking about being so Christian all the time because, you know, I mentioned my meemaw a lot on this show and how Christian she is. And she's so Christian, she speaks in tongues, you know, like her and my mom will both. Have I told you that before?
Maybe. It's been
5 years.
And it's
not even like at deep, dark times. It'll be like during dinner or prayer, you know, like, "Dear Lord, please." And she's over there like, and then my mom will talk, but she speaks like in a different language tongues.
Uh-huh.
And I've always found that funny. But the music that opened this was tika-ta, taka-tika-taka-ti, tika-ta-ta. And I was like, uh-oh, religion.
Yeah. Here comes some Icelandic tongues.
It's like Mima's thanking God for her tang right now.
I genuinely felt bad for Lydia in this scene because she had arranged this whole Viking dinner. It was, you know, it's like a medieval times kind of thing, which we will get into shortly. But she arranged it, and you could tell she really wanted to go to it, and she was stuck being like a good friend to Peggy. So Peggy comes in, and Lydia has to listen and be there for Peggy, and you know, she's like, secretly she just wants a lamb shank. And so Lydia's like, "Well, everyone's been talking about you. You weren't there, so you know, everyone was talking about you because, of course, you know, you weren't there." And Lydia's like, "I'm sorry." Peggy goes, "Well, I hope they say something bad because it's the only thing that come out of their mouth." I'm like, "What's that?" "Good one, Peggy. Good one. I hope they say something bad because the only thing that they can say." Then why do you hope for it?
And you know that Deco's been coaching her all day in bed. He's like, "Okay, here's what you do. Say, you only say something bad." She's like, "Okay, I asked to open window."
I feel like Peggy's your mama skills could use some work. It shouldn't be like, "Well, I hope they said something good because they can only say bad things." Like, I feel like there's like, she's just like saying, "Well, I hope it's bad because they can only say bad things." Then it seems like you're actually encouraging them. You're happy.
Understanding Peggy.
"Your mama's so fat, she's got to wear larger pants."
"I don't see nothing wrong with mama sitting around the house. Explain."
"Your mama's so dumb, she needs a tutor to get her grades up."
"My name is Chubby. My brother is Chubby. My father is Chubby. And my is Chubby." So Tamara is trying to have so much fun because all the girls are getting ready to go out. Vicky is in one of her classic Vicky dresses with holes all over it.
Oh, gosh. Vicky. I mean, it was like, I don't even know what shade of green that is. It's like, it wasn't even a pine green. It was like not even a moss, but it was like way too earthy green. It wasn't like colorful green. It was just like nasty, like forest floor green.
It was just so many holes in it. I was trying to read the pattern. Yeah, I was just trying to read the pattern. I was like, "What is this dress trying to say? So many baby cutouts." So Shannon's like, "Did anyone see Peggy? Did anyone see her? Did she enter her door?"
Hi.
And Vicky's like, "Well, she asked for silence and respect. So, you know, she just wants a closed window and some food. And I'm not going near there because bad things, not about us. I don't know. Who knows? Woohoo."
Cut to Kelly just like bouncing a big red ball. Boom, boom, boom. What? She's not going to get mad at this. What? She won't get mad. Boom, boom. By the way, can I just say, I think we were together, I guess, a few days ago. We were watching Amy Phillips' Kelly Dodd impersonation that she posted it on Instagram. It is so, so funny. Did I mention this last week on the show? Oh, my God. When she goes,
she did, but it's worth another mention because it is really, really good.
When she's just like, "You're mean. You're mean. Why? I wasn't mean. Why are you mean to me? You're mean."
And her lipstick game is on point.
So good. Amy, you are great.
We love you, Batch.
Batch.
So Vicky is taking every chance she can in this episode to walk away, to show that she can walk away.
Yeah.
And also to say things like, the girls, it's like a big girl hazing. You know, like, I see that they're hazing Peggy, but I'm staying quiet. You know, like, all those knocks on the door, that was hazing. That was so mean. But, look, I have holes in my dress, which has nothing to do with anything, but, like, I'm kind of cold in places, so woohoo.
Who wears cutouts in Iceland anyway?
Vicky Gumbelson, ladies and gentlemen.
Seriously. So they walk, the rest of the women decide to leave Peggy and Lydia behind because they don't know what's going on. So they're leaving the hotel, and they're walking out, and Megan's like, Vicky, don't fall. So, of course, Vicky is like, whoa. She's still that friend that, like, does, like, the fake fall to be funny when you just say, don't fall. I mean, she's, like, acting like she's never walked before.
I know. She's whipping out every Vicky-ism. She's like, whoa, I fell. Shut up. Shut up, Gretchen. You're stupid. Vicky's stupid. Greatest hits.
I did not have sex with multiple partners in this hotel.
So back in the other room, Lydia's like, why are you upset, sweetie? Everyone wants to make up with you. She's like, I have makeup. I don't need. What is this makeup? Who what they makeup? Say about my makeup?
I hope they want to make up with me because you know what they like? Makeup. It's a good one. Good one, Peggy. Good one.
Only makeup come out of their mouth. Bad makeup. So Lydia's like, well, they said you were upset because they were laughing, but they weren't laughing at you. And she's like, listen. After this shindig of drama.
Which makes no sense. Shindig of drama.
It's like a title for a Housewives episode. That must have been a title at one point. Shindig of drama.
Yeah. Shindigs, bondigs. I don't understand how Peggy doesn't seem to know so many basic idioms, and yet she can pull out shindig.
It's shindig. My shin hurt.
Shindig of drama.
She's like, well, they weren't laughing at you. And she's like, well, after shindig, I went to hallway and I hear baby crying. And I say, where is mom? Where is sitter? Why is baby for this 10 minutes crying? It's like cry ball in the house over and over. Ball crying cry house.
It's like
bouncing off the walls over and over.
A ball that cannot be caught in the house. You chase after it, but it just bounces. Floor to wall to floor to Coco to net to floor to Coco to floor to Coco to floor to Coco.
This baby needs mother to say, no cry ball in house, Coco.
No cry ball in house. No, no.
Lydia's like, are you sure? Where was Bridget? She's chained to the baby Bjorn. I can't see that happening. And she's like, I don't know this, Bridget. But I know this. A 30, 35-year-old giraffe, baby cry for 10 minutes. This is your friend's.
That's how raise your kid? That's not normal. I'm like, actually, it's called verbalizing.
Yeah, and also,
even I know that. You know, I'm like, I don't know anything about parenting or vaginas. Vaginas have nothing to do with it. I just felt like adding in another category that I know nothing about.
Well, what did giraffes have to do with it? I know that she's trying to get a Megan dig in, but I'm sure giraffes just let their babies cry. Like, what's a giraffe going to do?
I actually felt the giraffe comment was pretty on target. I was like, okay, Peggy. You know, your idioms may be a little wonky, but your animal comparisons are really on point.
She's just offended at everything, but then she's going to start calling people giraffes. How dare you?
But then someone will be like, I can't believe you call me a giraffe. What is this giraffe? What is it? I don't know. Are you
okay?
I
don't even know what it is. I thought it was soup. I was hungry and cold.
The other girls are—they're calling Lydia. They're in their little van thing, and they're like calling Lydia. It's Tamara giving not sympathy, but interest. She's like concern, faux concern. Tamara's like, "Hey, bitch, just calling from the van. It's like we're in the moon, but where it's like volcanoes and ice flows, and it's like light out, and like you can see all my bitch wrinkles, and like." Eddie's not gay. Are you coming to dinner? Bye, Batch.
I like when Tamara's in her fake. Look, it's fun Tamara mode.
Yeah, I do like that, too.
It's Tamara Batch, and it's also Vicky, and it's also Shannon, and it's also Kelly, and it's also the bus driver.
It's like, okay, Tamara.
You aren't calling us back. Am I erased? Do not erase me, bitch!
So Peggy is still going on with her story. She's like, so I walk down the hallway, phone in hand.
And by the way, Lydia is like staring at the floorboards like, oh my god, I am missing Viking dinner for this bullshit.
when she should be thinking, this is like five issues of Nobleman right here. I mean, people would buy that Nobleman. What really made Peggy so upset about the giraffe in Iceland?
Exactly. Well, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. You go on. What Peggy was saying.
It's just her story is hilarious. She has this whole story in her head. I walk down hallway with phone, and I hear Tamara, Kelly, Shannon, Megan, and bus driver laughing, screaming. It is in here. It is in this machine. Would you like to hear? And Lydia's like, oh my God, I feel bad for her, but why would she put people in her phone?
Yeah. So Peggy pulls out this video, the smoking gun, and it's Tamara just going, that is the funniest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life, bitch. I never, ever, 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 ever experienced anything but funny, bitch.
And she had just pissed herself and is screaming on the floor drunk. So why Peggy thinks this would be about her?
You've
never done anything that funny.
Lydia's eyes are bulging extra wide about this. She's like, I think that maybe they're just laughing. They're having fun.
How do you know they were laughing at you? Did Shannon eat a nacho? Because that's very disrespectful. Did she do that? And Peggy's like, I was livid. And then that is when the jab about my dad and Kelly laughing. Can you imagine my dad calling your dad?
And then they show the clip again, just reaffirms that, like, Kelly's just doing that thing, like, oh, you're going to have my husband call your husband? Oh, what do we do next? Like, oh, I'll have my dad call your dad, you know. And that's when, you know, and Peggy's just like, my dad. She knew about my dad. She knew my dad had died. And then they show a flashback of Peggy telling Kelly, and Kelly's like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't be mean.
That's terrible. But they also showed that she was wearing some wacky polka dot hat and like a fur collar, which you should never trust anybody is listening to you when they're dressed like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know where Peggy's coming from. Peggy doesn't know where Peggy's coming from.
Yeah.
I really believe that she thinks that this girl was going after her dead dad.
Yeah.
So she's like, it was disgusting. And she's like, oh, so this was your drag queen bingo then? Like you weren't comfortable?
Yeah.
And Peggy's like, Dico knows Michael. I said, let them speak. Put sense into your wife.
Yeah.
Jesus. You need to be on Real Housewives of New Jersey talking like that.
Seriously. And then Lydia's like, so would you like to come get dinner with us? She's like, can we move on from this now? Because this is ridiculous.
No. Why would I go with creatures like this to dinner? Giraffes eat trees. This I know.
A giraffe cannot change its spots. I'm like, okay. So
basically, Peggy is crying in her room all day because she doesn't understand English properly. Yeah. That's it. That's the saddest and funniest part of this whole thing.
Exactly. She misinterpreted a fluent English reference. Like, it's not even an idiom. It's more just like a general cultural allusion. I don't know.
Schoolyard you are. Let's call it.
By the way, could you hear the La Cucaracha truck that just came by?
No, and I'm pissed because that's like my favorite song of all time.
Oh my God. You know, that in my old apartment, that bitch who lived downstairs from me, and I'm going to say it in a very nasty way because she was a bitch. She complained. She hated noise. And when they were building a building across the street, the La Cucaracha truck would come every day, you know, because, you know, the workers needed lunch. And she would be like, can you believe that La Cucaracha truck? It is ridiculous. Every single day coming the exact same time, that La Cucaracha thing. And she tried to get the La Cucaracha truck to stop coming. I'm like, bitch, everyone loved the La Cucaracha truck. That's the best part of the day.
What if it just started playing songs that, like, bitter people would like, hello, it's me. Like, just some Adele sad song. She'd be like, oh my God, it's Adele again.
Like, Patience by Guns N' Roses.
So speaking of amazing music that should be on ice cream trucks, sail away, beep, bump. It's like some Enya kind of music, and it's a close-up on a sword and a stone with a Mercedes behind it. I don't know what kind of sign that is, but
it's like an Arthurian legend but filled with luxury.
And they come up, and it's kind of like Kelly says later, it's like London, where there's characters outside, the Viking characters, and they have to stay in character and not smile because you didn't smile in Viking days.
Yeah, and Tamara's like, what the fuck, that's like a real life gnome. I'm like, I wonder what sort of gnome she's been looking at. Has she ever seen a Travelocity commercial?
Also, just because they can't talk back to you doesn't mean you should just abuse them. She's like, that one's fat. Ew. That one looks like a gnome. Gross, bitch.
And then in a very strange twist, Doc from Back to the Future came out to greet them. I was like, this is not what I was expecting. His name was like Bjorn Slorvason. And he looked exactly like
Sigurdov, like Vladimir Dadontos.
With a lot of like strange accent aigus mixed throughout. Someone, by the way, someone did inform us. Remember last week we were complaining about the D that looked like it had been slumped over and killed with a stake through it. Someone said it that it represents the sound.
Well, I can't write it down, so I'm not even sure where that D is in the sentence. Damn it.
Well, it wasn't.
You try and learn things.
You try. So anyway, so Doc is like, welcome to Viking dinner. Please come in. We're going to have a lovely table set for you, and we will sing and have lovely times for you and fighting. But don't talk to the Vikings anymore, because they are sick of your jokes, Miss Tamara.
Yeah. No possums allowed. I'm not really sure that a Viking dinner in character is the best place for a group of ladies to go to.
Yeah.
I don't think the Vikings really had a lot of respect. They're like, welcome to dinner. They just beat them over the head, like drag them to the side, make them serve.
Yeah, exactly. But I was just waiting for Thor to show up because, you know, I love me some Chris Hemsworth and Rene Russo.
Not on this show, buddy. But we do have Kelly. She's like, they're like the guys in London who won't move even if you stick a finger up their cornhole. Look, let's do it.
So they go into this sort of like a lodge sort of restaurant, and there are just all these men wearing these amazing sweaters. Oh my God, I wanted one of those sweaters.
Go to Old Navy. Like, how many times do I have to say Old Navy on this show before people believe me?
Old Navy has those types of sweaters, those Nordic sweaters.
Those are just like typical white guy Christmas sweaters.
But they were like special and Nordic.
It's like Nordic Navy.
My grandma once got me a sweater from Scotland that was sort of like that, except along the chest area, it was like knit in like three ducks. And so it was like a Nordic sweater, but it was Scottish technically, with three ducks across. I think it was like a band of ducks that went all the way around, like around like the chest area. And I remember wearing it to high school, and everyone made fun of me, like, nice ducks. And I was like, I'll never wear this sweater again. And do you know how badly I wish I had that sweater now? Like, that sweater is the bomb. And the stupid high school people that didn't realize how bomb, I can't even believe I'm saying bomb as an adjective, but I can't believe all those people who made me get rid of my duck sweater from Scotland that my grandma gave me. I'm so mad.
People shouldn't bully other people with duck sweaters. So inside the restaurant, the guys in bad sweaters are like, hello, we will watch you eat. Great in sweaters. Rows. They were like just kind of surrounding them in lines to watch them eat, which, you know, is fascinating because just listening to them try and figure out the difference between a lamb chop and a lamb shank made my night. Like, it was so good.
I mean, I think that Bravo finally figured it out. Like, this is how they can make an extra revenue stream. Have some Real Housewives eat dinner and then just, like, sell tickets. And you sit in a bench and just watch from above.
Hell yeah, dinner theater.
So it was. So they're lining up. They're all sitting down. It's sort of like a big, long kind of almost like a picnic table sort of situation, table, bench,
it's
whatever.
It's a sausage fest, batch.
Batch. And so Tamara and Vicky are sitting next to each other, and Tamara's like, are you sitting next to me tonight, friend? Sitting next to me tonight, friend? And she's like, I guess I won't be sharing my little witticisms about lamb shanks with Tamara tonight.
Well, isn't that nice? They're friends. I'm so happy for them. I'm half happy for them.
Happy. So then all the guys in sweaters stand up, and it turns out that they're the Karlakor Rangnga Choir.
Just in case anybody wanted to look that up on iTunes.
Yeah.
I like when the main guy's like, we are going to have fun tonight. And Tamara's like, fuck yeah, bitch. Because like, what are we going to whoop it up? We're going to whoop it up, right, sweaters? And everybody's just looking at them like, you people are disgusting. Please stop screaming in our restaurant, okay?
We cannot believe we're wasting our talents on you right now. Our natural gift, our natural Icelandic gift.
So the guys are like, hallelujah, hallelujah, like whatever Viking sweater song.
Norgi flugin, glagin, blugin, glugin, flagin, diga flugin, yeek.
That last part is like what I imagine Bjork would be contributing to the choir.
Flugin, hi.
Jan is taking it on her phone. She's like, that is so impressive. If I were singing in Icelandic wool sweaters, I'd have hot flashes. Oh, God, I have goosebumps, goosebumps. What's fatter than a goose? I want to be fatter than a goose. What is it?
I want to take this video to show David what it looks like to have a man who pays attention to a woman through song.
Hey, David, look at these men not eating potato chips as they communicate with me through song.
David, look at these women. Look at these men singing and not checked out. Look at them finding joy in things that are not a Spartan race.
Do you have champagne? I don't know why Megan makes me laugh with every single line
every
that she
question.
Utters.
I think it's ever since last year when she started doing, are you an O'Toole? Are you an O'Toole?
Because they're like, welcome to Viking land. Now we drink blood from baby. And she's like, oh, do you have champagne?
Tamara's like, oh my god, the mean guys are coming. And Vicky's like, hey, I'm a very good girl. You want to see my nipples? Hey, Tamara, show them on your phone. Remember like you did last year, the FBI? Oh, we're friends now. I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah. So the Vikings are there doing like a show, standing over. And Vicky and Tamara are cracking up. And like Shannon's like, huh. It used to be that Tamara would crack up with me around Vikings. Huh.
Well, guess what, Vikings? I have a Viking range in my kitchen. How about that? No, that's not making anyone laugh. No. Okay.
I hope we're having fun, but I'm not really into my Nordic track, so I don't know how to feel.
Anyone? Get it?
So Shannon is looking at them because Tamara really does do that thing where she's like, yes, ha, 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 we are friends. We're friends.
Yeah.
Just to she's be as obnoxious showy. As possible to mm-hmm. Shannon. And Vicky's doing it too, but really it's Tamara the most.
Yeah.
And so Shannon knows. So at first she's looking at them with dismay. And she tells us,
well, if they want to be friends, it's fine with me.
And then they're taking a picture. And then it cuts back to Shannon. And she's looking directly into the camera like, can you believe this bullshit? And then it cuts back to her in the room. And she's like,
fine. It's fine. It's great. Fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Yeah, she's basically giving them the David look. David? Tamara? Vicky?
Did you notice that she got her own comical clarinet womp womp?
Yes, I certainly did.
They ended that with like the clarinet being like.
Here lies Shannon Bador, killed by Tamara, enjoying Viking shots with Vicky. Ha! Ha.
Shannon and the wolf.
Here lies Shannon Bador, not caring at all that Tamara is friends with Vicky. Not caring. I'm killed by not caring. Killed by being so carefree and so. Ha! Ha!
Here lies Shannon Bador, who is refusing to lie down. And instead will rise from the dead to yell, SKULL!
Yeah.
SKULL! That was like, I can have fun too, see?
Every time Shannon was super miserable and jealous, she would just yell, SKULL! SKULL!
SKULL, as in I want Vicky's skull on a stick.
So the waiter comes by, or the waitress, and she's like, okay, this is lamb chop, slow cook, and red wine. And Kelly goes, they have also buco in the Viking days. That's awesome.
She didn't even say also buco. She was like, they have also buco? Oh my, that's awesome. Also buco.
Awesome buco. And Shannon's like, this is a lamb shank. And she's like, it's usu buco.
It's also buco. Yeah. Shannon just going, it's a lamb shank. It's a lamb shank. It's a lamb shank. Kelly, it's a lamb
shank. I'm trying to meet you halfway here, Kelly.
It's a lamb shank, Kelly. Osobuku.
I start Osobuku, Kelly.
Osobuku.
Shannon is having to be nice to Kelly. She's like, what the hell is happening to me in Iceland? I'm having to explain lamb shank to Kelly Dot.
I used to be able to expound on breezes with Tamara, but I guess I'm stuck with Kelly Dot. It's a lamb shank, Kelly. Kelly,
then we get a close up of Megan eating her lamb shank with her hand, which was awesome. And then
it's a lamb shank.
Shannon's like, well, if
If Megan wants to eat that lamb shank with her hands, then that's fine by me. Skull!
This has been slow cooked. It's good. It's good. It's good. I love Osubuko. It's a lamb shank, Kelly. Kelly, do not push me on this, Kelly.
So no one's really talking to her, so she's just talking to herself. She's like,
can I say something? I think the Vikings like a girl with a bit of meat on their bones. And that would be me. Osubuko.
And everyone's like,
yeah, batch, me and Vicky are friends, batch.
So Tamara's like,
wow.
I'm sorry. I had written down that Shannon said wow at one point, so I just figured I'd just say it.
She did. She goes,
wow. Wow. Can I say something? Wow.
Wow. Wow. Wow, this is slow. This is some very good slow-cooked lamb shank. Specifically, Kelly Dodd, it's lamb. Don't you dare. Don't say it, Kelly. Don't say Osubuko. No. Lamb shank.
Osubuko.
Osubuko.
So Tamara, as loud as she can, because she's Tamara, she's still laughing with Vicky, and they're wearing these, like, what do you call them? Like metal hats.
Viking helmets?
Helmets
of some sort.
And she's like, Becca, have you met my friend Shannon? Because you need to apologize. And Vicky's like, yeah, I have met her, because I was friends with her before you were. And then it's like, dun, the music. And so she's like, do it, Vicky. Do it. Just apologize, Vicky. I know it's hard. Just say something. Just say David doesn't beat her. Say it. Do it. I'm like, okay, you're really helping.
Yeah.
Camera.
So Vicky's like, fine. So she's like, Shannon, I just want to say, and they're like, school!
School who? School who? Woohoo. So
she's like, just do it. He doesn't beat her. Just say, I know that David doesn't beat you. So she's like, okay, Shannon, I just wanted to say that, you know, I apologize to you. I guess I misinterpreted that call that night when you called me screaming and saying David beat you. And I guess you were saying, like, maybe it's Scrabble. I mean, I don't know. Like, what do I know? But, like, literally, I want to tell you I'm sorry for telling that private information that I misinterpreted to somebody that wasn't on camera. And it's not my fault. So I'm sorry that you think it's my fault when it's not. Okay?
And Shannon's just like, well, I really don't want to talk about it. But thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And then she does. I love the Shannon fake smile. I wish there was a way for us to convey the fake smile through audio. Because when Shannon is, like, visibly upset and she tries to smile through it, oh, it's just brilliant. Just, like, pained smile. Thank you. No, I appreciate that, Vicky. I appreciate that. I'm just going to, you know, just take another bite of my lamb shank over here and just...
And she nods a lot. She nods a lot. Yeah, and she shows her
skull,
teeth.
Skull,
it's that smile where she just, like, shows a thin layer of teeth and nods a lot. She's like,
well, I guess I'll be eating this lamb chop. Does that make you feel better, Kelly? Because I need a friend.
Yeah,
basically.
All right, well, thanks, Vicky. I'm just going to... I can't respond to you right now because I have these potatoes to eat. Tamara's like, don't eat the potatoes, bitch! Well, what else am I supposed to do?
I'm eating these fucking potatoes!
It's like, look, I get that you're going to not always be on Shannon's side. I get that's what you're doing, Tamara. But to potato shame her on top of everything else, back off, bitch!
It's not my fucking plate! It's not my fucking plate!
I'd also like to apologize that you tried to give me a stroke. Okay, so I'm apologizing for you because, you know, sometimes you can't apologize when I can. But, you know, please stop trying to murder me with the stroke. Thanks.
So now Tamara's really drunk and she's like, listen, Vicky, you know, I want to have a moment with you, Batch. I just want a moment. Like, Brooks ruined, like, everything. Do you see that? Brooks ruined everything. And then Chad's like,
I have a bathtub for you two. So bubble bath it up, and you can take a bath later, because you two are just getting along like gangbusters, like two potatoes in a potato pod, which I can't even eat.
Wow, like two little rubber duckies circling each other in a bathtub. Well, I've got the bathtub for you, girls, huh? Just kidding, just having fun. Osubuko.
And then Megan's like, it's not funny, Shannon.
I see. What? So you guys can be funny. And then when I want to be funny, I'm just a fat potato addict. I get it. Skull! Skull!
Potatoes aren't funny. They have Irish heritage, like O'Toole's.
These are O'Toole potatoes.
That's funny. To me, I can laugh at it because I'm Irish.
So Vicky's like, look, I don't want to hate each other every 2 years, Tamara. Okay? Like, I just want to make up and be done with it. And she's like, yeah, but don't you see? I'm the person who protects you. Okay? So just say you're sorry, Becca. Just say you're sorry to the person who protects you. Okay? I protect and serve. And Vicky's like, okay, but you got to say you're sorry too. And she's like, okay, but I'm sorry for whatever it is you think I did one time. She's like, okay, well then me too. We're done.
Yeah.
Okay. For a week. You know these two are not done.
Well, I actually feel bad because I feel like they did get to a good place, but you know, as this season unfolds, they, you know, they've just probably totally regressed. You know, probably they've been Twitter fights. I don't keep up with it, but I'm sure they've just taken so many attacks, and the reunion will come along. And it's like, that's what can be so frustrating, is that a whole season goes by, people finally get to a good place, and then they tear each other down at the reunion. It's like, why? We worked so hard to get here.
Thank God, because their friendship is annoying me. Although I am loving,
no, I like their friendship.
Disapproving Shannon. It's killing me. And I'm loving Shannon just going, skull!
Hey, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to go up there with the performers, and I'm going to conduct them, and it's going to be hilarious. Now, is that okay with everyone who doesn't like when I make a joke, even after you make jokes? Is that okay?
Is that going to offend anyone that I just, like, I'm going to be the life of the party for a second? I'm the life... No one, is anyone paying attention to me singing? I'm singing. Doka, 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 doka. No one's going to listen. No one? David.
Tamara, would you like to follow me and be a witness that I'm not really going to get a side of potatoes?
Tamara, do they still count if they're new potatoes? They're new, so I feel like, no? Okay.
So, meanwhile, back at the hotel, Lydia is, like, sitting at an empty table in that weird antiseptic, like, restaurant with the tiles on the floor, eating, I don't know, broccoli or something. Clearly just having a terrible night. And Peggy comes down in a crazy red dress. And, you know, they decide they're going to go to this lodge after all. Because Peggy's like, it is important for Lydia. She planned it. And this is what friends do. So no ball in house, because ball is going to dinner now.
We are here for noblemen. And I am on cover of noblemen. I will do noble job. Today.
So thanks for bringing your Orange County cutout clown ruffle dress, Peggy. Totally fitting in.
It was like some flamenco rose petal pretty woman mashup.
Yeah, it was like beach, kind of beach dinner wear. I don't know what it was.
I don't know.
So she's like, I will go and I will fight the fight for dead father. I'm like, oh my God, she really thinks she's going to fight Vikings for her dead father.
What a martyr going up against the giraffe. So yes, so now back at the restaurant,
she's taking a stepladder and a spear.
So basically, back at the restaurant, there's like, everyone's drunk and everyone's singing and everyone is like, there's like a fake fight that's happening, like medieval times. Everyone's just having like truly the best time. You can tell they're all having a great time at this dinner.
I was cracking up because the Vikings are like, yeah, I'm almost kill you. And then one gets the other down and he's about to slit his throat. And Shannon's like, or Tamara goes, just say you're sorry, bitch. You didn't like the guy she was dating. That's all. So funny. And Shannon's like, kill her, preferably with a fucking casserole, a potato one, kill her dead.
So then Peggy shows up and they're like, ha, yay Peggy, you know.
But they're Peggy's... like, who? The Vikings are like, who is this new animal? She enters and she's like, wah! Her hands are like waving in the air.
Lydia's so happy. Lydia's just so excited to be like, oh, I'm finally with other people and I'm out of the tiled dining room at the hotel. Woo! Back on my rainbow.
So they're all trying to be nice to Peggy. Tamara's like, you look beautiful, Peggy. And Shannon's like, holly vala, holly vala. I don't even know what this means, but I'm sounding great. Feels great. So Lydia is just kind of standing and watching everything go down because she's not sure what's happening at this table.
Yeah. Well, she's
Tamara's talking in that voice where she's pretending so loudly to be nice that you know shit's just off the rails already.
Exactly. Lydia's kind of like, I put in my time. I am backing out. She, if anyone has the right to say, I'm done, I'm done, it's Lydia. She just put in 2 hours with Peggy pretending to care about this nonsense. So yeah, so Tamara's all like super fake, like, you look beautiful, bitch. You look beautiful. I'm pretending to ignore your resting bitch face, which is really just a bitch face, okay? Bitch. So then Kelly comes over. Kelly, I felt like, was actually sincere, but Kelly does her classic thing where she goes, oh, I don't want you to feel uncomfortable around us. And Peggy goes, I'm comfortable wherever I go.
I don't need cushions. I'm always comfortable. She's like, no, you know what? I'm sorry. And then Peggy's like, oh, you're trying and I'm not, right? You're trying and I'm not. At that point, Kelly's like, okay, fuck this bitch.
Yeah, Kelly's like a teenager. She's like, I'm not fighting. I'm saying I'm sorry. She's like, don't say it. No, don't apologize, okay? And then she tells us, I would be really dumb to accept this one, okay? But
what I like is that, like, Kelly, you know, as Kelly starts to get mad, two things happen. First, her voice goes into the angry falsetto, like, you don't understand. And then on top of that, like, her hair just instantly gets messy. Like, her hair was fine at the beginning of this conversation, like, 5 seconds ago. And then all of a sudden, it's, like, parted strangely and, like, a strand is sticking up. And she's like, you know what? You don't understand. You don't understand. I try to be nice to you. I try to apologize to you. You don't understand, Peggy.
At first, I thought, wow, Kelly is really learning to keep this under control, you know? Yeah. Because the second that Peggy was like, oh, you're trying and I'm not, that's usually when Kelly would be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
But she was trying to stay calm. But then all of a sudden, she's like, as a matter of fact, you were coming after me and her because we were knocking on doors and we were completely innocent and you attacked she and I.
It's
like, oh, she's talking fancy now.
Yeah, exactly.
What'd I say?
And she's like, oh my God, you don't even understand. I can't explain it to you because it's beyond.
So Peggy starts telling Tamara that she found, you know, she's like, I found you guys laughing at me. And they're like, what? Huh? And Vicky and Shannon are like, this is bad when Vicky and Shannon are on the same side. And they're both defending Tamara. They're like, no, she just peed her pants. She was laughing because she peed her pants. And that's when Peggy's like, well, I'm going to play a video. And Shannon's like, are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me right now? Are you kidding me? I'll have another potato, side of potatoes while everyone's distracted.
Okay, you know how to use a cell phone? Who taught you how to use a cell phone? I don't know how to use a recorder. I can't even use an Uber. Will you show me how to use that? Show me.
You told me your phone committed suicide.
So Megan's like, hey, she has a recording. Yes, Megan, thank you. We're here too. So Shannon's like, are you kidding me right now? And Peggy's like, Megan, your baby was crying really bad in room for 10 minutes. And there's like a big pause. And Megan's like, did you time it? Because I time it. Okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, Peggy's just, you know, she's like holding up the phone and everything. Megan's like, what? Why are you talking about my baby crying? Why are you doing that? She's like, you stop. You stop right now.
And Tamara's like, she has a timing thing. Okay, bitch. She times it. It's like, if the baby cries more than 10 minutes, it's serious. Okay.
How dare she?
And Vicky's just in the middle of the table like, oh, here I am with all of my good friends.
So good that we're getting along together.
So good that no one's trying to give me a stroke right now at this very moment.
You know, Lydia's thinking, you know what she really needs right now? A few floppy menus she can sort of throw casually at these women.
Has Lydia even sat down yet? I feel like Lydia's still standing up just shaking her hands at the choir.
She's looking for some lamb shank.
So Shannon's like, first it was Kelly Dodd criticizing Megan as a mother. And now it's Peggy Salahian taking her turn. I love bringing the last names into every fight. You know that's when she's mad. It's like, yeah, she's your own mom, you know?
Like, Ronnie Karam, you get down here, sir.
So now Megan is like fully bawling. She must be drunk because honestly, she is bawling as if Peggy said that she had just abducted the child and like demands, you know, 50 sardines ransom or something like that. So Megan is fully crying. And then they're like, how dare you, Megan? How could you say such a thing? And she's like, what? I was not insinuating that Megan is bad mother. I'm like, Peggy, why did you start by saying the baby was crying for 10 minutes and no one was paying attention to it? Why? How are you not insinuating this?
I wasn't saying it was her fault. I was saying it is bad mother when you are giraffe.
Bad
giraffe mother, not bad regular mother. So she's losing on that one. Like, yeah, no one's going to be on her side for that one. And Lydia's like, well, I think that Peggy just might have trouble expressing herself. Maybe she should have just said, you hurt my feelings.
And Tamara's like, that is fucked up, Peggy. That is fucked up, okay?
And she's like, what'd I say?
Yeah.
And then Vicky's like, it makes me sad for Peggy because, like, you know, like, Tamara has to be inside, okay? And these girls are, like, bullying, and now they're, like, ganging up, and it's, like, bullying, okay? Like, I get it, because I was bullied.
I mean, I think, you know, Peggy is out of her mind this episode, and nothing that she's saying is really making sense. She's misinterpreted one stupid line, she's taken it to the extreme, and then she's paranoid about this laughing, and this baby crying thing is, like, stupid. But that being said, they should have just been like, whatever, Peggy, just, like, relax. And the fact that Megan is bawling, like, you know, like, this is so over the top. And the way they're all being like, how dare you, Peggy? I mean, it makes me wonder if something was edited out, because they were just really, really crazy. And Megan's like, I came over here to be nice, and, like, I feel sorry for her.
She's sobbing with her eyes crossed. Like, that is how upset she is. She's, yeah, like, cross-eyed sobbing. And then Vicky comes and just puts her hand on her scalp, which I thought was funny. She's like, okay, just stab it. It's okay. It's okay. Stab it. Peggy's like, I have baby in phone. You left baby in phone. It is still in phone. Do you want to get it out of my phone, or am I taking care of giraffe baby now?
Peggy's like, all I was saying was your baby was crying and you were laughing at me. That is all I was saying. All I was saying is terrible mother, terrible laugher. That's it.
Tamara's like, she was training the baby. I guess now she's a bad mother because she uses pee pads in the kitchen. Okay?
It's a timing thing, bitch. Oh, so baby is clock now? I don't get it. I'm always on time.
And Peggy just puts her hand on her ear and she goes, abu, 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 abu.
And they're like, Peggy.
Wow, wow, wow. Yeah.
And they're like, Peggy, she's like, abu, abu, abu,
abu,
abu, abu, abu, abu, abu.
We go to commercial, and then we get a close-up of the sign outside the restaurant, and it's called the Saga Center, LOL, at the Location Scouts this year. So Kelly is like, I know Peggy wouldn't say anything about the baby because she has three kids, because she's just come back inside because she learned to engage and then go away from her anger management. Yeah. So she's just come back inside. She's like, I don't believe it because she has three kids. And she's like, yes, you see, Kelly, because now this is how they twist it.
I'm like, Peggy, this is all 100% twisted to begin with because of you. You have pre-twisted the twisting.
She's like, no, I won't come on, baby, and do the twist. You do the twist.
What is this twist anyway? I have to get on hands and knees and put hand on dots and other dots? No, that's Twister. What is this, tornado? No, Kelly, I mean, Peggy,
How am I supposed to close thrash without twist?
That's a different. It's a twisty tie. Come on, Peggy. So Kelly has come in and decided to stick up for Peggy because maybe that'll make Peggy nice, you know, but it doesn't, of course. And Shannon's like, shut up, Peggy. I have nothing to say to you. Because now Shannon is just in cray-cray Shannon mode.
Yes. And she's like, I have been nothing but kind to you. And Peggy's like, I have been nothing but kind to you. She's like, no, you questioned my husband. I'm like, oh, okay, so this is somehow going to become about David. Okay.
Yes. Well, they all make it about themselves because Tamara was like, you never talk about someone's child. Look at me. Do you need an eraser too? Do you want an eraser, Peggy? Just go for it.
So Peggy's like, all I said is Shannon's husband is not loyal and didn't tell Shannon the truth. And then that's when Tamara's like, well, you know what? Batch Deco was a little bitch. A little bitch. I'm like, Deco was not a little bitch. Deco did nothing wrong. Deco is actually the most sane person here.
And then Kelly's like, she was recording me. You were recording me. This time I know it's for sure, okay? Like, Shannon wasn't because she said she wasn't, and I believe her totally. I don't even know how to use an Uber. But this time I was being recorded. And Tamara's like, she threw a bomb. And Kelly's like, yeah, you want to throw a bomb? I'll throw a nuke.
Yeah. And Peggy was trying. At that point, Peggy is like, ugh. So she's trying to apologize to Megan. And oddly, like, Megan, like, oddly accepted it. But she's now just in a crazy place. She's, like, bawling. And she's like, no, I get it. It was lost in translation. But, you know, you're a little odd. You're a little odd. And that's, like, from one giraffe to another. Like, you're just a little odd. Like, what is it, giraffe? I don't know what giraffe is.
You're like lost in translation. That was a really sad movie. Like, I can't stop thinking about Cameron Diaz singing karaoke alone in that bar while Bill Murray was being sad somewhere. How could you do this to me and my baby?
You know, like, I mean, even though, like, I can't stop thinking about, like, what did Scarlett Johansson say to Bill Murray anyway? We'll never know. We'll never know. Like, Peggy will never know.
And
By the way, it was like, Anna Faris, not Cameron Diaz, I think.
Oh, thank you. Sorry.
Just so no one goes nuts on the internet. You know, I know, because yesterday I was listening to the radio, and Time of Our Lives came on, you know, Dirty Dancing song, and the guy on the radio was like, wow, that song from Officer and Gentleman, I can't believe it was 30 years old. I was like, how dare you? That's Dirty Dancing.
Officer and a Gentleman.
It's like, how do you mess that up, DJ?
Yeah, that's a way worse fuck up than mine.
Yeah, especially when you're on Coast FM and, like, you play that song every hour. Come on.
So Vicky's like, I would like to make a toast to everybody liking me today. Okay, I'm going to go outside and get some air. And Peggy's like, I will not. I will know. My father is dead. And she leaves. So Vicky's like, okay, let's see. Oh, so Peggy gets to the van and she's like, I do not want to wait for them. I want my own van, my own jet. Yeah. I'm out.
I want to go back to my hotel. To my hotel. I'm like, Peggy, you're staying at the same hotel as everyone else. I want to... my bus driver, take me to my hotel. I'm like, Vicky's right there too, you know. Can Vicky come to your hotel also?
She's mad that Vicky didn't have her back.
Well, because Vicky's sitting there.
Like, I will not have backs, okay? Like, I'm done with backs. I'm too old for backs.
I'm out. I can't do this. I'm like, I'm a businesswoman. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm like, I've got a Ralph's card. You know, like, I am like, I've got like 9 punches on my Subway card. Like, I can't. I'm out. Just like bringing up all sorts of unnecessary information.
Yeah. I'm a tennis player. I'm good at skee ball. I love walks at sunsets. I'm a double sid, you know.
I like tuna, but I don't like spicy tuna.
I'm trying to find my list of shit that Vicky was saying because I did the same thing. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm a winner of an award that I got in my backyard where I fell. But, you know, I'm someone who could fall down and get back up again. Also, I'm a lover of that song, Fall Down and Pull Yourself Back Up Again.
Also that. I'm a survivor of football to the face syndrome that happens at Lake Havasu. I'm a dreamer. I'm a screamer. I'm a real life wiener. I don't know. How's that song go again?
I'm a smoker.
I'm a joker. I'm a smoker. I'm a joker. I'm a real life
Toker. But not toker, because that drugs. Jesus. Jesus doesn't like drugs. That's not biblical.
A museum membership. Yeah, it's a museum membership. It's it's for Mercedes-Benz. It was not really a museum membership. It's just like, I just go to the Mercedes dealership sometimes. It's like a museum.
I'm a person who pays for my parking at the validation stand instead of waiting in line like everybody else.
I've been to Sioux Plantation.
I'm a subscriber to the Orange County Register.
Like, sometimes I go to a supermarket and I'm like, I'd like to subscribe to that register, please. And they're like, no, that's not how it works. And I'm like, I can't do that.
And she just doesn't shut up the whole van ride home. She's like, look, I appreciate what you did for me in, you know, when I was dying of the stroke attack, heart attack or whatever. Like, I appreciate it. The way you put the robe over my face, like, that was great. But, like, I can't do this. Okay? It's crazy. Like, I don't want to get involved. Okay? And she's like, okay, bitch. She's like, okay, Vicky, we hear you. Because she wouldn't shut up the whole time. So the next morning, Kelly's in bed.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to say, Peggy. So now Peggy was like, I cannot believe that Vicky did not have my back. I'm like, first of all, you should watch last season. Second of all, I feel like, you know, it sucks. It really sucks. It sucked for Vicky last season. It sucked for Vicky this season. She works so hard to get back in everyone's good graces. She finally gets in everyone's good graces, and then the sidekick, like, fucks something up, you know? And now Vicky has to have your back and, like, jeopardize the position she worked all season to get into. Like, I kind of get it. She's like, ugh, come on. Come on, I just got here. I just got to this good place.
Especially when she's the one bringing phone evidence and calling someone a bad mother. Like, yeah. Well, how am I supposed to have your back about that, you know? Like, Vicky's already been yelled at by Jim Edmonds once. She doesn't need that again, okay? She's like, I've already suffered the Edmonds curse. Like, I'm not doing it again.
Yeah.
He's scary. He's terrifying. And big. He's really big.
And he has candles. So now the next morning.
I want my Christmas candle, okay? I'm not messing with Jim Edmonds.
I just miss my candles. Okay. So next morning.
Kelly's like, I'm dying of alcohol poisoning. I party like a Viking. It's light all the time. You continually drink. It's like, you don't know when to stop. It's like, how is this different from, like, regular life? Just more life.
I know. I was going to say, I was like, I feel like partying like a Viking is, like, the same as partying like someone who lives in Orange County. Just without abandon and in sort of, yeah, like a sort of barbaric way, right?
Yeah, just more suntan lotion. So she FaceTimes Vicky, And she's like, we were literally up till 3 in the a.m. and it was 6 p.m. there. And like, Peggy literally bounced. And I'm like, she literally, I imagine Peggy literally just bouncing out the door. She's like, boom.
I'm just imagining her as a gummy bear. Gummy Peggy everywhere.
Just Peggy bouncing Peggy outside of hotel.
What is the gummy bear? What is this gummy bear? Bear made of gum? Who wants to chew gummy bear? What are these ducktales? What are these ducktales? What are these tales told by ducks? Are they ducks on sweater?
Ducks do not have tails.
You know what has tails? Giraffe. Giraffe has tails. Giraffe tails. I watched that.
So they get home at 3 in the morning. They're all partying and drunk. And Kelly hears banging because Peggy has waited till 3 in the morning to throw her shit around the room.
It's very Matchbox 20, yes.
Yeah. Why was she so angry at 3 in the morning packing her stuff? She's such a weirdo. Was she just waiting for them to get home and hear her or what?
Maybe she was, like, spending that time rolling, you know, grape leaves and eating them raw.
She was probably just bouncing a ball against the wall just because she's finally has freedom and can do it without Coco copying her and calling her a hypocrite.
She was probably having a heart-to-heart with Puppy the Buffalo. He was like, Peggy, you seem sad. Can I take you on a mystical adventure?
No, you said something about my dad.
Buffalo's like, no, I'm sorry. I started to give Puppy the Buffalo Peggy voice.
I mirrored the voice. The voice is in your head. I am Puppy the Buffalo, as appears in Peggy's head.
Get out of my head, Buffalo. No Buffalo in house.
No Buffalo.
No
spiritual apparition in house.
So Vicky's like, oh my god, these girls are bullies. And like, I get it, because like, remember me last year on the girls trip? Like, it was like Kelly, what they did to Kelly. And then we cut to Tamara being like, she is a sick human being, bitch. about Kelly and yelling at her on the van and stuff. And Kelly's like, yeah, and I stayed. I didn't leave. That was hard.
They were mean to me.
Yeah. She's like, this is crazy. You should never get to a place of leaving a girl's trip. Like, she's paranoid. Like, she doesn't know who has her back, you know, which I don't. You know, and I'm not going to, because you know what? If you have someone else's back, chances are you'll get their stroke. I don't want her stroke. I've got my own stroke. Like, whatever. Keep your germs to yourself.
You know, Peggy doesn't realize how easy she had it. Watching that flashback to Ireland, one of the most epic trips in housewife history. Like, they were so, so nasty to Kelly. And there was things were so crazy. The screaming in the face, the accusations, the gaslighting, the trying to get her drunk, just everything, the shoving in the department store, and the way they like mocked her, and like this Peggy, this is nothing. This was nothing.
This was really them trying to be nice to Peggy. Like the only thing that really happened was when Kelly said, "Stop bossing me around. Like, you're not my mom." That's really the only thing that happened to Peggy, and she's turning it into this huge thing, which is hilarious. You know, I love a petty fight, and I especially love it because Peggy doesn't even know what it is.
Yeah.
So Lydia's like, oh, no. No one's answering their phones. We're going to miss our flight. But they don't.
Yeah. The producers didn't even bother following up on that. They're just like, we're going to miss the flight. And they're like, let's go to commercial instead and come back in California.
Well, poor Lydia is just on everyone's block.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Can't even. She thought the being left off the group text was bad. Now she's just left off of everything text.
And so we go to commercial and we find out that this is another Bravo storyline that will be continuing, because Bravo storylines have a way of popping up in every single show, one after the other. And Ariana is like, is Jack saying terrible things about Britney in this recorded video on someone's phone? I was like, oh god, here we go again.
Yeah. I missed that. I think I fast-forwarded.
But I can't wait for Sir, because Lala tells Lisa. Lisa probably asked her, like, what is this give them Lala hashtag? And she's like, I give everybody what they want. And Lisa goes, so I've heard.
Zing.
Zing.
Broken bird zing. Chef Penny, give me some tuna tartare to celebrate my zing.
Oh my god, that's coming back on my birthday. That's like the greatest gift that the world could give me is Vanderpump Rules. So then we, when we come back from this lovely commercial break, we're back in California where Megan is packing candles and stuff because I'm going to have a big candle party for the launch of my candles, which sounds thrilling, I guess.
Look, here's how I want to fold things, like this.
Like typical Megan scene. How should we fold?
Yeah.
And then she's like, well, who wears a large? I'd say Vicky. Rude.
It is rude. She's like then taking like a hole puncher and just like punching little holes in it. Do you hear this garbage truck outside, by the way? Is it distracting? Is it just bothering anyone?
No.
Oh, good.
Actually, and I'm like the most anal about that stuff. No, I don't even hear it.
Oh, good. Good.
But she's so lame. She's like, folding. Who wears large? What should we do to wrap these? And Jim's like, wow, it's great to have you back.
Yeah, his enthusiasm cannot be contained.
So then over at Lydia's house, they're making potatoes. She's like, potatoes! And the mom's in her tiara, you know, spreading shit all over those potatoes. She's like, it's a dust of peace! And Doug says, stop faring the potatoes, please.
And then we sort of settle in on Vicky. She's at home, and she's with Brianna and the kids, and starts telling Brianna about Iceland and everything. And she's like,
sorry, I had to.
No, I like that this show has like a study in ball parenting, you know?
Ball. He's like coloring. He's doing that kid thing where you have a coloring book and a crayon and you're just like crossing everything out. Like, fuck this picture. I'm not coloring within the lines.
Yeah.
And Vicky goes, how'd you get so smart? Okay.
You could be in a pickup truck commercial. You know, because every pickup commercial starts with, like, when you were a kid, you were told not to draw with, like, outside the lines. And some kid draws outside the lines and cuts to them as an adult in a pickup truck. Yeah.
So Brianna's like, great, mom's home. So how was it, mom? And she's like, well, it was like the mood. Like, the sad, it's like lava. I was at the hospital once. And Brianna goes, what else is new?
Yeah.
But I thought I was dying. I said, what else is new? Okay. Well, I got a casserole. Well, finally, you got the fucking casserole. That's new. Congratulations. Are we done here?
Exactly. So basically, they're just rehashing it. And Brianna's like, well, the problem with you, mom, is you always speak without thinking. She's like, I don't think I always speak without thinking. I mean, you married that asshole. I mean, did I say that?
And Vicky, you know, Vicky just can't dig herself out of a hole. She just makes it worse and worse. She's like, well, Tabra and Shannon were kind of nice, but then Tabra made me apologize. So I said, I'm sorry for misinterpreting. And, you know, like Shannon was stoic, but like, I don't know why she called me in the middle of the night. And I'm just never going to say anything again. And Brianna's like, yes, you are. And she's like, but they don't tell me that. They don't tell me.
Yeah.
And Vicky's basically confused because she's like, well, she called me in the middle of the night. And she said that things with her and David were really bad. What was I supposed to interpret it as? Yeah. That definitely my first thought would have been David's beating me. I mean, what the hell?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I probably would not think that. But yeah, to hear now that all that Shannon did was say that things were bad is, you know, as opposed to like, oh, wait, he just like slapped me around. Yeah, that is something of a different take on
it. It's totally different because when they talked about this at the reunion, Vicky was like, I've got the text. Because apparently there was a police report because Shannon called the police and locked herself in the kid's private, you know, hidden room in the other mansion or whatever.
And then she, like,
so we've
broke
heard
the door
about
down.
This story. Yeah. Yeah, we've heard this story. So I don't know why now it's being changed to. She just called me one time and I misinterpreted it. Why are you changing it? You're not. It's not making it better for her.
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, so then I just lost my place in my notes. Oh, and can you hear the... By the way, the street sweeper is coming through. Can you hear the street sweeper now?
Yes, let's sweep this story away. I'm so sick of talking about this goddamn abuse.
So now we go to Peggy and Deco. And Peggy is wearing some sort of like tattered up yet fringy denim disaster. It's like Shania Twain went through the car wash or something like that.
A really bad one because the ruffles on it, or what'd you call them? I'm so
fringe,
dumb today. The fringe were all diamonds.
Yeah, it was like rhinestone disaster. Yeah. So basically, Peggy is talking to Deco about Iceland and everything. And
you slept like 2 days, like a bear.
What is this bear?
What is bear? I was not naked. No, like bear animal. I was not a naked animal. No!
So we see a flashback of Peggy calling Deco in Iceland, and she's like, sorry that they did this to me and that I needed you. I'm like, I hate when people do that. I'm sorry that I was like abused by these women. No. No, yeah, it should be sorry that I'm emotionally needy and ridiculous right now. That's what the apology is.
She's just basically not. She's like, they took what I said and twisted it and said I called a giraffe a bad mother. I'm like, wait, what? She's like, and also, Megan refuses to pick up her baby inside my phone. Like, it is still there.
How do you twist a giraffe anyway? I mean, I know they have long neck, but that is ridiculous, is it not?
I believe in right animals.
And he goes like, I need a vacation from your vacation.
So I know we even got to see a doctor in Iceland, so we didn't break the OC tradition of the year, which is doctor's visits.
Yes.
But let's go see Lester Lee, MD. I love a rhyming doctor name.
Lester Lee, MD. Yeah, I like it too. And I but like Shannon his, like, owe an smooth apology NPR to Dr. voice. Moon. Yeah.
Yeah, Shannon owes an apology to Dr. Moon, by the way. Okay, just putting it out there.
Yeah. For cheating on him?
Yeah, she's going to, like, an actual doctor. Who does that?
Yeah, she's going to get her blood work done because, you know, the producers are like, well, we've got the season finale coming up. We got to wrap up this story. So I'm going to get my blood work done. So
look, candy. Tamara's like, no, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a bowl of potatoes? No, bitch.
Bitch, why would that potato at the doctor's office? Because I put a special order in. Bitch. So Shannon's saying how she entered menopause at 42, which is pretty, I mean, I don't know when the menopause time is, but the way these women talk, menopause doesn't start till you're 75, because they act like they still have many, many years to go. But that does explain a lot, explains why she's so hormonal. And what also explains a lot is that Shannon doesn't like taking meds because she thinks they're bad for the body. So she has not been taking her hormone therapy for years. And she's like, well, you know, I think it's good that I haven't been crazier, considering that I'm not taking my progenogen or whatever it's called. And then they show a montage of Shannon being absolutely crazy this season.
Spit my fucking plate! I'll just have a nacho. Read between these lines, bitch!
Like, it was all of Shannon's classic moments.
Yeah. Which is great. I'm always down for a Shannon montage.
Me too, especially when it's set to clown music.
Oh, yeah. That's the best kind of montage.
So the doctor's like, also, you're really low on estrogen, hormones, progesterone, cholesterol,
tater tots.
He listed like 20 things, but they didn't follow this one up with a montage, which I was upset about. It's like, stop setting yourself up for beautiful montages and then not going into them, people.
Do your tests say that I'm low on wine? Because David only got 2 bottles for a dinner party. 2 bottles! David, 40 to 50 negative thoughts about David and hormones.
Do your tests show the annoyance I felt at David eating potato chips violently in front of me?
When Tamara won't even let me have a simple bowl of potatoes. And there he taunts me.
She's like, good news, everybody. The only reason I've been acting crazy is because my hormones are bad. Everything's fixed.
Everything's fixed.
So he says he's going to give her a test cream for her vagina, or for down below. And she's like, would that be my vagina? And Tamara's like, that's what's down below, bitch. She's like, okay, so I'm putting quite a few things in my vagina. And Tamara's like, yeah, except your husband. The only thing that can fix that is divorce, bitch. She's like, okay, that is not hilarious.
You're sort of jumping the gun on my storyline there, Tamara. Thanks a lot. Yeah, because they were talking about how David doesn't have much of a libido anymore and, you know, all that sad stuff. So then we go to Vicky, who is meeting up with Peggy to sort of clear the air. They go to a coffee shop that Vicky didn't know was even there until this coffee. And so she meets up with Peggy and they sit down and Vicky's like, oh, remember that time when you were being crazy and you were locked yourself in a room talking about giraffes and, you know, babies on phones and stuff? Well, we went out and we got headbands, so here's yours, so enjoy it. And Peggy's like, what is this headband? I don't see a drum and guitars. What is this?
Hairband? I will not listen.
I do also, not I like Bon Jovi.
I love their kiss when they met because they refused to touch. It was like the most awkward kiss ever. And then Vicky's like, oh, I've never been to this coffee shop. Oh, this is the best bagel and lox ever. I know that's what you want, isn't it, Peggy? Make up your mind, Vicky.
What? Why do I eat a lock and key?
Why? What are these locks?
Peggy goes, you know I love locks.
Yeah, you're so close, you guys. So I just wrote, wow, reality people will go to great lengths for a free bagel. Yeah. Like, Jesus, people get paid for this, you know?
You know what? I get it. Honestly, I really do. So they're hashing it all out, and Vicky's doing the whole thing.
How are you? She's like, so how are you? And Peggy's like, how are you? That is the question. It's like, okay, Shakespeare.
To be or not to be is something to be about a bee. You know, so, what are bees about?
It's just Shakespeare dumbed down for modern times. How are you? That is the question.
If you prick me, do I not bleed? I don't know. Why would you prick me in the first place?
Why would I have a spot on my shirt in the first place?
Wherefore art thou Romeo? I don't know. Who's Romeo?
Why is this girl on balcony? All the time. This is not how you date.
Who is Friar Tuck anyway? How about he untuck?
I'm titling the scene The Meeting of the Deadly Diseases. Because they won't touch each other's cheeks when they kiss. It's like, not because they fear the other is contagious, but that they might be, because their disease is worse than the other ones, you know? Yeah. So this is where I was writing, this sucks, because Peggy, I feel for her. You know, she doesn't really understand the language that well, apparently. And if you really think about American slang and how that would sound if you didn't know what it means, it's very violent, okay? Like, you can't beat a dead horse. That's cruel. It's cruelty. Don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining. Assault by bodily fluids. Mm-hmm. Dog is a man's best friend. Like, men have animal brains. Like, we're stupid. Yeah. Don't throw stones at glass houses. Neanderthals. Yeah. You know? I get it. I get why she would be confused. We can be mean as Americans.
We're inherently mean culture, aren't we? We're violent. We're violent. We're violent people.
Yeah, guys.
But thankfully, you have a pacifist like Vicky, who's like, you know what? It's not my fight. It's not my fight. Like, you know what? If I got in a fight with someone and, like, you didn't defend me, I would understand, because it's like, I would say it's her giggity 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 giggity. I was like, can someone restart Vicky, please?
Someone slapped Vicky on the back.
She's putting out a whole bunch of A's with question marks.
Well, Vicky, yeah, she's the new iOS system where every time you press I, it's like a barcode and a square or something. It's like, what?
It's my
Oh, yeah. She's like, hobbit get jiggity jig. You know what I'm saying?
No, I do not.
I'm a grandmother. I'm a mother. I'm a businesswoman. Bleep. Restart.
So Vicky, I think, handled this pretty well. And this is where she starts listing her thing again. She's like, I'm a businesswoman, a mother, a grandmother. Woohoo. I invented woohoo. And Peggy's like, you did not have my back. But Vicky handled this well. She's like, you know what? Look, I know that you feel like I didn't have your back. And it's true. I didn't have your back. Because, look, I'm a grandmother. Okay? And, like, I don't want to have your back. And I don't want you to have my back. I just want us to, like, go to lunch and be nice and not have each other's backs. Okay? Like, can we just do that? And Peggy's like, oh, okay. End of fight.
Yeah. Fight is over. So then we go to Shannon, who is playing with Archie the duck. Archie! And she's very concerned about Archie because he's eating a lot. And he normally doesn't eat that much. Archie has... David, have you been feeding Archie? I'm like, of course he's feeding Archie. Someone's like... It'd be crazy if they're not feeding Archie, you know? She's like, did someone take Archie for a walk while I was in Iceland? Has he been getting his walk?
Oh my God, most passive-aggressive dog fight ever.
Yeah. Oh, well, he doesn't feel good. Was he being taken on a walk while I was in Iceland? You did that?
And David's like, oh, you know me, dear. I just let them run wild. Yeah. Don't even use a leash. Being sarcastic, and she's like, oh, well, I know. Yeah. And he's like, well, you know what? I didn't have time because I was working out all the time. I was like, oh, David. Oh,
and then they show footage of him doing the rings. He's like, well, as a matter of fact, dear, I took Archie on a Spartan race. Him too? Archie doing a Spartan race? All right, David, I've had enough about this. Archie, come here. Come to Mama's hands. I'm going to feel... Oh, his heart's going fast. He's panting. Things are strange. 40 to 50 negative heart fibrillations. David, if you kill Archie, I'll never forgive you. David.
So he's being a total asshole with his sarcastic answers and trying to start a fight with her. And she's like, oh, well, Archie, you're my best friend. And David is, like, psychologically chewing potato chips in his head while he looks at her because she won't fight. And she says,
the state of my marriage? Not good.
And so David tries a different tactic, and he's like, so, what's going on, dear? And she's like, I just want to know what David feels. Limbo is torture. She's... I saw Beetlejuice. Do you remember that lady with the hole in her throat? That was not fun.
Dale.
You know, here's the problem also, I think, with David. I think something that we have never really addressed, but I think it's time that we address it. David doesn't have anything interesting to say ever. Have you noticed this? Never. She's, you know, Shannon's actually very conversational. She has a lot of things that she's always, you know, she's always starting conversation about any wacky topic. And he just does not really contribute because she's like, I think I got this jet lag from Iceland. He's like, yeah, I thought you guys stayed on California time. Like, what? Why would they? How could they? David, how could you stay on California time in Iceland? It's just like.
He's an idiot. And he's also just bringing his, like...
And he says it like an accusation. Like, you said you guys were going to stay on California time. Like,
yeah,
sorry,
he's bringing
David.
His, like, assholishness right out into the open. He's like, I thought you were on California time. I mean, I probably slept more than you here, so now you didn't get your sleep, dear. Great, dear. Great. It's like, now you're sleep-shaming her? What is going on here? Why are you even in this scene, dude? Like, if you're just going to come on and be an asshole, just leave.
Yeah, seriously. So then Shannon's now just, like, focusing on Archie. She's like,
he's breathing different. It's almost like he has been deprived of a bowl of potatoes that he sorely deserves.
And David's like, oh, come on, buddy. Come on over here, Archie. And she's like, don't minimize it, David.
He needs loving from the mommy.
And pets him. So there's this long pause while he's giving her a dirty look because she won't fight.
Yeah.
And she's just like, oh, Archie, I love you. Like, I need to be loved. Someday it'll come back like a boomerang, Arch. So she's like, well, next week, David, is the candle launch, which is huge, big, huge. They have eggplant flavor, which I don't even know what that would smell like, but I'm going to go support it. And they're giving Vicky a large shirt, which I'd love to see. So I would love for you to be there. I don't know how you feel about that. And he's like, me neither, dear. Maybe I'll go and then I'll leave. She's like, why?
Why would you do that, David? Why?
He's like, well, because I don't want to deal with all the bullshit there, and it's a candle party, and, like, honestly, it sounds terrible. She's like,
Yes, the famous Shannon.
She's doing, like, a Kate Chastain, but with Shannon's twist on it, which is like,
So she's like, it's official. My husband is checked out. He's like the most popular library book in there. Just gone. Always gone.
Oh.
So pretty sad. What a sad ending. But, you know, Archie, I'm sure, felt good. He's like, wait, yay, your pain got me some good petting. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, exactly. So that's pretty much it. That was the Orange County episode. And next week we have the season finale. And then we'll launch into probably about two or three, I imagine three episodes of Reunion. And then we put an end to this sort of wonky season of Orange County. Hopefully they'll come back with a stronger showing next year, huh?
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure they're going to have a great reunion.
Yeah. Well, it'll be good. Reunions are always strong. Speaking of reunions, we'll be back tomorrow to discuss the Real Housewives of Dallas Reunion Part 1, which was, of course, absolutely hilarious. So until then, everyone, thanks so much for listening. Go follow us on social media. Go to watchacrappens.com for all that stuff. We got nothing to shill these days, except our own selves. So everyone, have a great Tuesday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.